Our Lord Jesus, we praise you, our God of peace. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we welcome the opportunity to pray to you now, to offer up our praises as we have in song, and we lift up our spirits to you. Now we lift up these prayers of praises to you. You are worthy of all of our praise. We praise you, the God of Christmas, and the one we seek during this Advent season as we journey towards Christmas, but also the God who is alive, risen, resurrected from the dead, whom we worship all through the year as our God and our Lord. We praise you, our God. We thank you for this place to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity we have week by week and day by day to worship you in our hearts and with others who love you. And we seek you this morning. We seek your peace in our hearts this morning as we come from lives of turmoil and lives full of problems, but lives full of your joy and your peace. Thank you for welcoming us here this morning in worship. We thank you for this church, Fellowship Church. We thank you for the people here. We thank you for its history. We thank you for placing us here at such a time as this. Thank you for including us in your mission to this neighborhood, to this city. Lord, we welcome that. We receive it. Forgive us, Lord, when we do not bring peace, when instead we bring division, we bring hurt, we bring harm, we bring disruptions between individuals and between the peace which you would bring. Forgive us, Lord. We ask that you would pray, we pray that you would make us agents of reconciliation, agents of your peace, of your shalom in this world. We pray for this. Lord, we have many burdens on our heart for friends and loved ones as we come this morning, and we lift these up to you now. We lift the Cran family up before you as they grieve the loss of Dan's father. We ask your blessing upon them, that you would give them your comfort, Lord. We continue to pray for young William. Lord, we thank you for bringing him out of the hospital, and we pray for him as he goes to his follow-up sessions this week for a clear diagnosis of the path forward. We pray for your continued strength upon his heart. There are many among us, Lord, who remember during this Christmas season a loved one that they have lost. I think we all have someone that we grieve remembering this season who's not with us. We lift those people up before you now. And we pray for those who remember, who grieve. We pray for each one of us as we grieve this season, remembering our loved ones, that you would comfort us. We lift up many who are healing today from sickness, from surgery, from other illness. We lift these people up before you now, and we ask for your healing hand to be upon them. We remember them now. All those for whom peace is elusive. In our city, we hear too much of death and of gun violence. Lord, we pray for peace in our city. We pray that you would bring your peace in our city. We pray for those who are experiencing a total loss of peace right now. We lift them up before you now. Pray for those who are persecuted for their faith, who follow you with great faith, but who are persecuted. We pray for peace in their lives. We pray for peace to be able to serve you and to follow you. We pray that you would build their faith. Pray for ourselves, that you would make us to be peacemakers in our relationships, one with one another, in our community, and in this world. We ask that you would take us into this community as agents of your peace. We ask for this community that your Holy Spirit would fall upon it to turn hearts to you. And Lord, we ask that we would give all glory to you as we pursue your will and your ways in our lives, in this neighborhood, and in this world. Thank you, Lord. We're full of gratitude as we worship you this season. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Privilege of leading you in listening to and trying to understand more fully what God wants to say to us about peace this morning. And our text, two verses, excuse me. And I should first of all ask, can you hear me loud and clear in the back? Good. The first chapter of the Bible, Genesis, the first book of the Bible, rather, Genesis 3, verse 15, where you read, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And then from Luke 2:14, these very, very well-known words of Christmas, the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." Dear people of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, on this second Sunday in Advent, we are to talk together about peace. But as they say, talk is cheap. It is a most curious thing that around Christmas time, people speak of peace all the time. This morning we even lit the peace candle. And all this in a world where there is such a pronounced absence of that commodity. Is the church dreaming? What kind of peace is there really to sing about, to celebrate? Oh, I know the angel started it all, singing in the fields of Ephratah about peace on earth before they retreated safely back into heaven. And without King Herod getting the memo, apparently. But by the cradle in Bethlehem, Christians throughout the ages have confessed, "He is our peace," the Prince of Peace, no less, ushering in the Kingdom of Peace. Throughout centuries of persecution, violence, upheaval, war and distress, crusades and inquisition, times of... all you got to do is read your paper or turn on your TV. Times of violence for both church and world. Like, what's going on with this peace thing? Wouldn't it be good to define our terms? For all this talk about peace could have the effect of, whether you're a believer or not, to put you in a nice sentimental mood for a few days or a few weeks, closing your eyes to Yemen and the Rohingya, social injustice in this world, and even the turmoil in your own life. Or it could make you bitter, cynical even. Well, let's look at that peace a little bit with our eyes wide open, unblinkered by secular, sentimental, and commercial notions of this age. It is striking, it seems to me, that all this talk of peace in the Bible is not how the Bible introduces Christmas. It's rather the opposite. The diametric opposite, you might say. It introduces Christmas with a song of enmity and vengeance. Bitter enmity. The first mention of the coming Christmas that you find in the Bible, you hear in paradise, where Adam and Eve and the devil who seduced them both hear the judgment of God. And in that moment of judgment, pleased God to announce the coming of the Christ child. "I will put enmity between you, Satan, and this woman, between your offspring and hers." And then prophesying vengeance, God added, he will crush your head even as you bruise his heel. The prophecy of Bethlehem, of Messiah. And here in paradise, you certainly don't hear choirs of angels, God's messengers, but you hear the Lord God Almighty himself. And he does not speak of peace. He speaks of enmity. Not of people of his good pleasure, but of a crushing triumph over the devil. And that, if you read carefully, is the basic pattern, the leitmotif, the promise of Christmas. And it's very easy, by the way, to pick up that strain, that strand, that thread in the New Testament as well. Listen to old Simeon. When Jesus is presented in the temple, when he speaks about a sword that will pierce Mary's heart. And shortly after that, King Herod, aforementioned, creates a bloodbath in Bethlehem, seeking to kill the Christ child. And when the Christ has become fully grown, when he has become a man, you remember what he said? I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. Get a load of that. A sword. So you understand, just to tap your toes in rhythm to that beguiling word, peace, in the fields of Ephrata, doesn't necessarily mean that you have really understood its serious and much deeper meaning. Maybe the theme of this sermon should have been the third actor. For there's not just two, but three players in the Christmas drama. And the third one is almost never mentioned, always overlooked. You never hear about him in malls or on the radio or television. Maybe you should hear about him more in the Church of Jesus Christ. For there's not only God above and a sinner below, so to speak, but also the old enemy, the devil. The one who made separation between the two. I loved that illustration with the rope this morning. Well chosen. He is the one who makes separation, who cuts the cord, as it were, between the first two, between God and man. For what we are talking about at Christmas is a question of alignment, of sides, what you choose, whose side you choose to be on. For at the cradle in Bethlehem, two relationships are possible. And they really butt heads, they conflict head on. Either it is peace with God, and therefore enmity with the devil. Or peace with the devil, and therefore enmity with God. Same as in paradise, folks. For this was the fall of humanity. Humanity decided to line up with the false blandishments, the promises of the devil, and turn away from obedience to God. And the relationship between the two was cut, it was broken. And this now is the song, the hymn of Christmas, a relationship restored, peace with God, and enmity with the devil and all his works. The beauty of Christmas is that you and I are invited to choose to stand on the right side again. The beauty of Christmas is that God has come and has chosen to stand with us. That God says, I am Emmanuel, God with you in Christ. In him you may find peace, the peace of a restored relationship made possible by the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in him, you may stand up and say, no. No to the devil and all his works. And his works are still legion. They are still many. And don't ever blame God for them. In a world of war, unrest, violence against the weak and voiceless, a world of violation of human rights, of genocide, materialistic greed, that is destroying a planet, a world where there is hunger and homelessness, the works of the devil. A world where that devil is still working overtime, because the Bible says he knows his time is short. Christ has the victory, but he is there. He works overtime. And I would want you to really focus this morning on the fact that people who just go by the word peace to feel good for a few days are really, truly, totally missing the point. They're missing the boat. They're going to wake up in the cold, cruel days of January, overwhelmed by reality, because they misunderstand that peace. God doesn't ask you to feel good for a few days. He asks you to do good, to choose sides, to choose his peace, to surrender to his side, as it were. That is, to hand your life, your sins, your burdens to Christ, and to become God's ally. To joyfully put on the whole armor of God and to experience his presence, his peace in the midst of this struggling world, this real world. The child of whom we sing invites to victory and peace, to discipleship, to following him, to battle. He set his foot on the earth to take the first step on the road of obedience that would take him to a cross, where the devil indeed would bruise his heel, but he would put paid to the old enemy and crush his head. And he invites us to share in his victory, his obedience, his fight against sin and the devil and all his works. To pray, Lord, make your peace more and more a reality. Your healing, your shalom in my life and in the life of this world. There is a distance to go yet. There is a way to go on the journey from here to there, the embattled journey to the horizon of the fullness of God's kingdom. And the other side, the losing side, seeks to inflict damage and pain and destruction, doubt every day. And love of Christ means hatred of all that, the old adversary and all his works, a hatred against injustice, a hatred against poverty, a hatred against hunger, fighting the good fight against racism and sexism and all the isms that reduce people to objects or numbers or desperation. A hatred against all that which wars against peace and the goodness of our God. You know, there's only one person who can change enmity into peace. And that, of course, is God himself, the gracious God who in his Son, Jesus Christ, gave us, the Bible says, while we were yet enemies, peace through the blood of the cross. And it is to him that we are to call our world, not to a cheap peace, not some superficial bonhomie, or a world-escaping spirituality that closes its eyes for a few days in December to the reality of this world. We are to call people to him, the Prince of Peace, because he has the power to restore people. No matter what their history, no matter what their past, he can do it. He can rescue people. He brings peace and enlists people into his army, as it were, his kingdom of light, rescuing them from the darkness. In our world, we see everyday manifestations of that ongoing struggle. It is everywhere around us, in big ways and little ways. We see it every time a child dies. We see it every time people in a family refuse to forgive or be reconciled to each other. Every time we hear of a plane crash or of unemployment statistics, every time we say, man, what a difficult, what a horrible world we live in. Did you read this? Did you see that? There's an ongoing fight because, folks, we're not living yet in the fullness of the kingdom. There is a fight. The Bible says not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the destructive power of the devil. And yes, there is pain. There is disappointment. There is death, brokenness, sin. We can all attest to that. But Christmas has come. And Good Friday and Easter and Pentecost. And the Lord Jesus says to you this morning, the second week of Advent, don't be afraid, but open up your hearts. I have come to make my home with you through my Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. I have overcome the worlds. I have overcome. And to the one who is faithful, I will give the crown of life. I have unlocked the way to the house of the Father, and I am your peace. Choose Jesus. Choose peace. Celebrating Christmas in a real world means, praised be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory so that we may know in this real world nothing ever will separate us from his love. And he will equip you from day to day to follow him, giving you what is necessary. Follow him in the faith, the confidence that in him we are more than conquerors. He is our peace. His peace be with you now and always. Let's bow our heads for an amen. Lord Jesus, you are the amen of the Father to all the promises from time immemorial, the promise of things restored, the promise of a relationship healed, the promise of a new world coming. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you this Christmas season. We thank you that no matter how our path or journey leads or takes us, you are with us always to the very end, and that in you we may face anything this world may throw our way. Lord Jesus, thank you. May your Spirit make us glad in you, our peace, now and always. Amen.